blessing. Let me begin by mentioning that the new handout is available online. We have now over 300 people who are receiving all of my handouts for these sermons online. And I combined handout number 10 with new handout number 13. It's the first handout that's back to back. And you can get that. And then for those of you here, there are copies of it out there in the lobby for you to pick up, plus a fresh supply of handouts 1 through 11 are there. This is a very, 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 very serious sermon. The title might deceive you into thinking that I'm about to entertain you, but I'm not. This sermon has troubled me all this week. Christ's wife, the devil's girlfriend. I could not put the full title out there on the marquee, nor did I give the full title in my one call. The sermon is actually entitled Christ's Wife or the Devil's Girlfriend, comma, which are you? That's the full title for today. So let's pray. Our Father, you do today what you feel you need to do. And help me to stay out of your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us go now to the Bible. Revelation 12. The Bible presents two women, choir. Two women, you were outstanding today. Thank you so much. Charisse, Celebration Choir. Pastor loves the Celebration Choir. Wonderful. The Bible presents to us two women. Two women. Now, yes, last week, because we had a bunch of children in the choir loft, I rushed my sermon so they wouldn't get bored. This week I have adults in the choir loft, so I'm not rushing nothing. Amen. Give the whole barrel of wax here. And so in Revelation 12, there appears this woman, verse 1, clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars, and she's pregnant. She's pregnant. And then in Revelation 17, go there. There is this, what appears to be a contrasting female. And in verses 3 through 5, she's described, woman sitting on a scarlet beast, verse 3, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And of course, if you follow through with those 7 heads and 10 horns, and go to Revelation 13, verse 1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having what? Having what? Come on, folk. So this woman in Revelation 17 is devil-possessed. Because that beast in Revelation 13 is devil-possessed. Read down. It's controlled by the dragon. Is everybody listening to me? You have to do homework before you preach. So we're dealing here in Revelation 17 with a contrasting woman who's of such contrast that she is devil-controlled, devil-possessed. And then her clothes are described. purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations. She drinks sin and the filthiness of her fornication. She's messing around with anybody she can find. Here's the problem with the sermon. It's the same woman. I'm going to prove it to you in a minute, but I'm just going to tell you right now. The woman in Revelation 12 and 17 are the same woman. It's the church. It's the two faces of the church. Sometimes the church asks, sometimes the church acts, scratch asks, acts as the true bride of Christ. And sometimes the church acts like the devil's girlfriend. Sometimes an individual Christian lives as Christ's wife, but catch that Christian on Monday after Sabbath is over, sun is set, hymns have been sung, Sabbath clothes are put away, celebration choir has sung, then that same SDA who sat in church and sang the songs and went to the service and did all that stuff on Monday morning, they dress differently. What the Bible and Revelation is presenting is the duplicitous nature of Christians. We just won't make up our mind who we are. Now, I know you expected me to explain that the woman in Revelation 12 is the true church and all that, and the false church. But the Bible is saying more. See, what you're forgetting is when the Lord founded the church, he founded one church. Not Baptist, not Methodist, not Seventh-day Adventist, not Presbyterians, not Catholics, not Church of Christ. None of that stuff is in the New Testament. He founded one Christian movement. The problem is that Christians, during the growth of the church, became so duplicitous. One day they were this, one day they were that, one day you were this, one day you were that. When will you stop messing around on your husband? And so, the Bible paints this love story. Christ and his church. Now, I say he's got to be in love because we are a piece of work.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Let me rephrase that. He must be in love because I am a piece of work. Amen. Go on and say it, everybody together. Come on. I am a piece of work. I didn't see all lips moving. Come on, everybody. I am a piece of work. So now we know, Sister Pierman, that the sermon is about you and me and all the rest of us. I, Brody, I am sometimes acting as one devoted to Christ. I am sometimes acting as one devoted to Satan. I've got a problem. But here's the thing, choir, it keeps blowing the pastor's mind. In the midst of this duplicity, inconsistency, he loves me. You ought to put your hands together and take a few minutes and praise God. You know you ought to praise God. Because some of us did some girlfriend stuff this week. Revelation and the Bible are a history of Christ trying to win this woman called the human race and win this woman called the church. Look at Revelation 2 and verse 4. The problem is announced there. Dr. Lachey and verse 4 of Revelation 2, when he opens up the story, remember we preached about Ephesus, that's all behind us. And Ephesus is the first church, Pastor Cheatham, so we get the roots of the spiritual problem in Ephesus, the first church. And in verse 4, what was the problem? Somebody tell me what you see in verse 4. What was the problem? What was the problem? Loss of love. He wooed me. He won me. I said yes. But the journey, the journey with Christ wasn't what I thought. So I went back to my old ways. I like wearing his name. I'm now called Christian. Don't you dare not call me a Christian. Even when I'm not acting like a Christian, please call me Christian. But somewhere along the journey, Doug Levison, somewhere along this relationship, something began to happen. It wasn't going well. And the book of Hosea tells the story. Go to Hosea. See, Hosea is a forerunner in many ways of the book of Revelation. You recall Hosea? Let me tell you about it. Fine young fellow, full of potential. Seminary student, Cheatham, as he was. Early in his home church, they saw his potential. Worked with the young people, helped the pastor, but he was single. Hosea was single. And so one morning after worship, the word of the Lord came to him. I want you to get married. It's right there in verse 1. But shockingly to Hosea, the Lord selects his wife for him. Gomer. Now, Hosea almost faints because he knows Gomer. They go to the same church. Gomer is not someone you want your name connected with. Hosea's pious, astute, vigilant man. No chicken, vigilant man. Straight. Gomer sometimes comes to youth meetings, sometimes doesn't. And these splits in her dress are a problem for the ladies in the church. Nobody wants their son connected with Gomer. Lots of makeup. Walks in church late. Sits down near the front. Crosses her legs. Ha! And so, there's all kind of rumors about Gomer, and this is not the one you want to connect yourself with. But and so Hosea's, he's having a problem. I mean, you ought to read this thing in the Hebrew. Hosea is about to die. And he's figuring, maybe those vegetables I ate last night did not digest well. Lord, would you run that by me one more time? Gomer. Well, you need to know that the Gomer story is the story of Christ in the church. Because Hosea's name means God saves. I wish y'all'd stay awake while I'm preaching this sermon. God saves. And Gomer's name means not perfect, but I'm getting there. Come on, somebody. Hey. We're talking about Jesus Christ the Savior, huh? Whose business is saving, and he specializes in picking up the Henry Wrights who are not perfect, but they're trying to get there. I wish somebody would say amen. And God has commanded his son, go get them. They get married. I don't have time to read all this stuff. Y'all can read it for yourself. They get married. And they start having, going to get married. And of course, you know, the ladies of the church are clucking. Everybody's clucking. And her family is very questionable. And in my imagination, the church has to step up, plan the wedding. Because she comes from a shaky family. And so the ladies step up, the men step up, try to support this thing. Everybody's wondering, has he lost his mind? And you can picture what happens when Hosea comes to his mother and father and tells them. I can hear his dad now, you are reading the Bible way too much. Your mind has turned into soup. You wait for religious boy. God ain't told you to marry that woman. See, nobody, Cherise, in heaven, in the universe, understands God's love for you. Even the angels are mystified. Amen. See, the angels run around with us. They know we ain't got a lick of sense. And they're the ones flying back and forth to heaven, giving the reports, saying to the Lord, you know, this right fella you assigned me to, today was a rough day. And God says, stay by. You ought to praise God today that he commands his guardian angel to stay by. Somebody ought to give God glory that he does not take his protection from you. Amen. So they start having kids. I mean, you know, Hosea, you know, he's okay. The first child's name is Jezreel. It means I'm losing mercy. See what happens after he marries Gomer. You know, when you first get married, you try to make it work, don't you? I mean, at least the married folk ought to say amen. I make it work, you know. You know, you're working with it. You know, opening the doors, you know, and helping with the groceries, you know, and honey this, we did that. Baby doll, that, all this kind of stuff is going on in those early weeks and months. Yeah. Caught up in it, man! Bliss. But by the time their first baby was born, and you know, Hebrews always told on themselves when they named their kids. Jezreel. Mercy is waning. Getting impatient. See, I often say to young couples that I counsel, here's one thing you want to do. I'm going to shift gears now and give a little free marital counseling. Here it goes. When you are dating someone and you're about to marry them, ask yourself this question. You remember, don't you? Yeah. You know what the question is. So proud of you and your husband. Here's the question. Think of the worst thing you know about the person you're about to marry. And ask yourself, if that never changes, are you willing to stay with them for 50 years? See, until you're prepared to marry what's there, not what you wish was there, but until you're prepared to marry what's there, you're not in love. And so Hosea now begins to realize, this is really bad. And by the time the first baby comes, he names the child, the mercy is leaving. He's getting impatient. She's snapping. Things aren't going well. Well, if you read the whole book of Hosea, somewhere between the beginning of the marriage and the next two children, Gomer starts stepping out. Got to read chapter 2. She starts girlfriending again. I want y'all to listen to me. Because somebody sitting in this church today is about to go down the tube. Somebody sitting here today is running out of grace and mercy. Somebody sitting here today needs to straighten up and fly right, because at some point, your husband, Jesus Christ, is going to lead you to your boyfriend, Satan, the evil one. Amen. He's covered you. He's protected you. He's taking you back in. But he's growing where my spirit, I'm reading Isaiah, shall not always strive with man. Amen. The next child is Laruhamah. The name means, I'm not sure. Wow. Now, you know, they can do tests now, you know.
Yes.
They can, you know, come on, y'all, sit there quiet. DNA tests. They can do DNA tests. Some of the stuff you're producing didn't come from him. That anger did not come from him. That backbiting did not come from him. That sitting on his tithe and not returning it did not come from him. That never giving any offering to the church did not come from him. That half-stepping on Friday night, holding the sun up with one hand, breaking the Sabbath with the other, that did not come. Some of us are producing some questionable DNA that did not come from the sperm of the Savior. Not sure. Was this it? But the evidence suggests to you that it turns out that is his. The rumor is his. It's his. She's coming in late. Saying she's going to be places she ain't there. And according to chapter 2, she's now running around. And somewhere between the Ruhamah and the last baby, Lo-Ami, she actually leaves him. She leaves him. But she comes back, according to the end of chapter 2. She comes back. She comes back. Just read the book. She comes back. And soon after she comes back, she's pregnant again. Somebody's listening. Now, folks, I don't know why people watch soap operas. This is way better than soap operas. This is good stuff here. When the third baby is born, well, you know how they do. You come, see your wife, kiss on the forehead, the Lord has seen her through, praise God. And then you want to go right to the little room, you know, where the glass is, and see. And see. And see. It's all right here in the Bible. Well, I picture Hosea. He goes, looks in the mirror, and he sees the little fat fella. Nurse says, he looks. See, it's right in the Bible. Look. Call his name Lo-Ami, for you're not my people. I will not be your God. She brings the little fella that's really in my nose, in my eyes, in my hair. Not my baby. See, one of the things, ladies and gentlemen, that you've never understood is how much embarrassment you have brought to your Savior. We get so wrapped up in our stuff, so wrapped up in what we want to do, so wrapped up in what we have to have, so wrapped up in our own will, we have no feel for the fact that the whole universe is watching us make a fool out of God, we think. Trashing his grace, stepping on his mercy, taking for granted his forgiveness. Over and over again, the world watches. Haven't you read Desire of Ages? Haven't you seen that on the cross it said the whole universe was watching as mankind brutalized their Savior? Have you not read that the angels had to be held back from destroying everybody at the cross? Have you not read that? They don't understand the grace of God for human beings. Here's what happens. Hosea's upset. Somehow, as I read Hosea, Marley, he must put her out. Because in chapter 3, I'm reading Hosea. You say, I thought you were preaching out of Revelation. I am. It's called Hosea. And the Lord said to me, go again and love a woman who is loved by a lover as committing adultery. Now notice, at the beginning of the Bible of Hosea, she's called a harlot because she was single. Now she's called an adulteress because she's married to Hosea. Wait a minute. Look at verse 2. Wait a minute. Look at verse 2. I wish I would look at verse 2 of Hosea 3. How come you're not looking at verse 2? Look at that. So I bought her for my... Wait. I bought her. Wait. She leaves him. She gets back out there in the streets. He puts her out. She's had this baby, not his. And so, Cartwright, the Lord makes Hosea go down to the slave block where they sell women. He gets there, and there's his wife, Heskey. There's his wife. And the Lord makes Hosea bid for his own wife. Buy her back. Did I read? Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Cheatham. Didn't I read 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20? Did it not say, hey, we are bought with a price. Therefore glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so, Rosen, the universe watches as Hosea must bid for his wife. But he forgot his name. His name means God saves. Her name means perfect. Not perfect, but I'm trying. That's the relationship between me and God. I'm not perfect, but he stands before the public and bids for my salvation. See it now, Joe? See, Joe said to me this week, Pastor, what's this sermon going to be like? Now you know. Now you know. Now, look at it. Look at it. Look at it. So, why, Reggie Samuel, is this important? Why? See, why is this important? Why is a pastor preaching this? Most of us in the church are not going to be lost because we don't believe in Jesus, or because we don't believe the 7 days of the Sabbath. We're going to be lost because we've never, ever in our life totally put away sin. Christ's wife? The devil's girlfriend? Which are you? Who were you this week? And so the Bible cries out with alarm. Look at James 1, 7 and 8. Go there. Got to finish up now. Look at James 1. Look at what the Bible says. Look at the concern of the holy word of God. James 1, verses 7 and 8. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Christ has identified himself with us. And he has put himself on the line for us. But the great lover declares, Charles, over there in Deuteronomy, rather in Exodus when he gives the commandments, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Come on, somebody. Don't you think he takes lightly your running around. He's embarrassed. He gets upset. He put himself on the line for you. He provides you with food, clothing, and shelter. It's not one decent thing you have you ever got from the devil. Every breath you breathe, every crumb of bread you eat, all comes from God. The devil is a destructor. He will tear you apart, but God gives you food even when you do not give him love. Shelter when you don't return your tithe. God is a devoted, consistent, all the way lover. Anybody who goes to hell wants to go there. You spit in the face of your lover. You told him, I don't care. And you went on and did your thing anyhow. Hell is your choice. You are God's choice. Ephesians 4:14. That we should no longer be children. Watch this. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Folk, the Bible is saying it's time to grow up. You're married now. Yes. Marriage is not for children. Your husband is Jesus Christ. Act like an adult. Stop making excuses. You know, marriage often say in my premarital counseling, marriage is not for kids. It's for adults. Because marriage requires commitment. Let the married folks say amen.
Amen.
Commitment. See, commitment is commitment. Yeah. His breath stinks, commitment. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She didn't fix the food right, commitment. Come on now. Yeah. He's got an attitude, not speaking, commitment. Commitment. See, you don't know that you're in love, brother, until she stinks. All this nice thing, she's sweet, and he's handsome, so forth. He ain't always handsome. Sometimes he's a bulldog, but you married him. Marriage is commitment. Somebody say amen out there. It's commitment. Up and down. And we say them vows. For better, for worse. For richer, for poor. It takes a second help. You ain't been there yet. Wait till you get there. Then tell me something about the vows. But Christ, hey! Christ! No matter how we act, come on somebody. No matter how low we get, no matter how, here he is. Here, my blood is sufficient for Henry. I die, Father. He's mine. Belongs to me. And so when you push Jesus to the point where he puts you out, you done really messed up. And it don't stop there, Brody. You see, when we get to heaven, he's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. We will not remember those who are not saved. But the Bible is clear, God cannot forget. He won't mention your sin, but he can't forget, which means he can't forget the sinner, which means that after he wipes away all pain and memory of sin and those lost from our minds, because God cannot forget, he will spend eternity missing the brides he could not save. So the plan of salvation commits God to eternal pain. Even while we're enjoying the earth made new, even while we're eating from the tree of 12 manner of fruit and the leaves that heal. Even while we're in golden, enjoying the golden streets, Christ will sing with us, God will applaud with us, but deep down in their everlasting, eternal loving hearts will be the memory of every person lost. They tried to save them, and they would not respond. I don't want that to be me.
Amen.
I don't want to be a scar on the mind of God for eternity. Somebody say amen out there.
Amen.
So the Bible cries out. Let's shift to my last three texts up there. Let's start with Joshua 24, 14 and 15. Joshua 24. And I want to read these texts. I want you to read them with me. Yes. You see them on the screen? Will you help the pastor? Come on together. Now therefore. Come on, everybody. Everybody start again. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and truth. I love it. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. Come on. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which... Now make a decision, read it, but as for me. It's time to be loyal to your husband. Let's go to the next one, fellas. Read. So Ahab, come on, sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. Should be more. I give the wrong text. Oh! Read it again. Read it again. How long will your father, if the... If you are Mrs. Jesus, act like it. If you're Mrs. Satan, act like it. But stop trying to be both. You're draining yourself. You're losing equilibrium. And the thing about it is, a half-step in Seventh-day Adventist never will be a good sinner. A half-stepping Seventh-day Adventist will never be a good sinner. Because you drink your beer with guilt. And it shows on your face. See? And the other, the sure enough dyed-in-the-wool sinners, they just drinking and serpent, but you kind of got a funny look on your face because you're looking for lightning bolts to come down from heaven. You know I'm telling the truth out here. Ain't no SDA ever going to be a good sinner. You know too much. You've been married too long. You've forgotten how to really act single. But here's the sad part of that verse. But the people answered him, silence will not get it, choir. These are the last days. You got to take a stand one way or the other. Keeping your mouth shut will not do. And there are folk who sit Sabbath after Sabbath, Sabbath after Sabbath, Sabbath after Sabbath on the brink, will not make a decision. God, have mercy on your soul. That will not do. You got to kick the devil out. Kick him out. Tell them friends of yours you will not be back. Tell him to stop calling. Don't call me. And then mean it. Got quiet in this place. Let's go to Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, closing text. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. I've got to get up here close to the choir so I can read this text. This thing just wears me out. Okay, here we go. Come on. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you what? Woo! Blessing and cursing. Stop! 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 Got to stop! We're so dumb that he has to tell us to choose life. Now, you know, that's a terrible state to be in. Set before you life and death. God says, they're so dumb. I have to tell them, please don't choose death. Choose life. Choose me. Choose salvation and grace and mercy and forgiveness and love and provision and power. Choose your Savior. Don't choose anybody else. Choose God. He's got to tell me. My mind is so messed up. I've been duplicitous so long. I've been on one side of the street and the other for so many years. I don't even know life when I see it. So God takes me by the hand. Leave death alone, Henry. Don't go. Life, life, life. Time to come home. Can you see Hosea? He stood out there in front of the whole neighborhood, Jim, and bid for his wife in front of all of them. Some of her lovers were there. How humiliating for Hosea. When the lover said, I bid five, Hosea said, well, okay. Looks like that's it. Holy Ghost says, six, Hosea. Seven, well, see, Lord. Hosea. Eight. Somebody says nine, see, Lord. I mean, 10, Hosea. 10. You bid until you have her because you represent me. And then in front of the whole town, having paid 15 pieces of silver for his own wife. It's like the movies now. The spotlight is on him. The violins are playing. Hosea puts his arm around Gomer. And there's little Jezreel, Laruhuma, and Loemi. And they walk off together the sunset. Somebody say amen. Yes! Let's go home, Gomer. Let's forget about it. Let's start fresh, honey. Jose, I know I've embarrassed you. Your sin shall be mentioned no more to you, Gomer. I finally understand my name. God save. And I hear Gomer say, now I'm coming home.
I've wandered far away from God. Now sin too long I've
There's not a person in this room who has any years on you at all, who has not at some point embarrassed Jesus, who has not at some point in your life made Jesus look ridiculous for even loving you. But he stayed with you, didn't he? I said he stayed with you, didn't he? Are you thankful for that? Stand on your feet. Next verse, Anwar. Your head is bowed. You're thanking him.
I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home.
Sing that beautiful chorus with him. Coming home, everybody.
I'm coming home.
Sing it.
Coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home.
Is there another verse? Just hold. Let's go for a more meaningful appeal. You need to make a fresh start. And you know it. You need to make a fresh start. And you know it. Fresh start for me, you may mean just start coming to church regularly. Fresh start may mean Bible study. Fresh start may mean you're going to start being faithful, returning your tithe and offerings. Fresh start may mean baptism. But you know you need to make a fresh start with Jesus. As he sings this next verse, I want you to move from where you're standing and come to this front row. You're praying, church.
I'm tired of sin.
Somebody gonna come?
And straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love, believe your word. Lord, I'm coming home.
Somebody else?
Coming home, coming home, never more to roam.
Sing it, sing it, sing it. Open wide.
Open wide thine arms.
Somebody else
want
to come?
Lord, I'm coming home, coming, coming. Coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home.
There's nobody standing in this church right now whom this sermon did not touch. I know that, including me. I would have you spend time this week celebrating the great lover. He is awesome. Jesus is awesome. Put your hands together for Jesus. For these precious ones who have come today, we give God thanks for the courage to even come forward. Let's pray. Holy Father, Christ's wife, the devil's girlfriend, which am I? At some point, I'll have to be one or the other. I lift up every soul, and now I pray for those who have watched me online right now. I pray that you've made your decision. Pastor Cozy is in touch with you. He's our online pastor today. You can let him know what this sermon has meant to you and what decision you have made. But make a decision. Don't be like the people at Mount Carmel who answered him not a word. Be like Joshua who said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Make a decision. Please, please make a decision. To this end we have prayed, and we give God thanks, and all the people have said, amen. You may be seated. Are you glad you came to church today?